sing our opening song, Your Love Makes Me Sing. As we do, I invite you to please stand.
Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known the boldness, the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak.
Thank you, Shannon. Well, for those that have been here the last couple of weeks or watched the last couple of weeks, you'll know that we've been focusing on bread a lot recently. Over the last 3 weeks, we were talking about bread. And obviously, not to disappoint you, but we're not talking about bread today. We're talking about something very different. But while I'm on the subject of bread, very quickly, I want to share with you one fact that I didn't know before studying about bread the last couple of weeks and wanted to share with you all. It's about the word companion. And you may have noticed over the last, maybe a couple of weeks or so, I've gotten into a trend of saying companions in Christ right before my benediction at the very end of the service. And that got me thinking about that word a little bit. The word companion is derived from both French and Latin, both of which I don't know and can't speak, but still really interesting. Co means with, and pan much like Spanish, pan means bread. Therefore, a companion is someone that you, in fact, share bread with. And having company over means having multiple companions over at once that you would, in fact, share bread with. Now, this is only something that's, I guess, generally relevant to what I'll be talking about in a little bit with Ephesians 6. But it's generally relevant in the sense that it's our faith's calling to focus on people, right? Not just ourselves and what we can gain from bread or from eating or from anything else that might benefit us, but we share that with others. And so that's going to come up a little bit as we talk about this Ephesians passage. So I decided to go in a little bit different of a direction this week because of what I saw on the news this week. Of course, like many of you, my heart sank when I saw the people of Afghanistan and what they have been going through over the last week. The news of the Taliban regaining control of the country, it just was very tough news to digest. Many of you can relate. An indicator as to how quickly things changed, because they really seemed to change overnight, but an indicator of that was the appearance of a CNN reporter on the ground in Afghanistan. One day, she was dressed as any field reporter might in the United States. The next day, she was wearing a hijab and outfitted with garments that covered her entire body except her hands and her face, presumably not to attract any unwanted attention or consequences for wearing different things. The change was drastic. And upon seeing this, it really made me think about what we choose to wear, both literally and figuratively and spiritually. Hence the choice for the focus of today. This is still an assigned reading for today, but I decided to go in this direction of focusing on the armor of God. Now, if you were one to grow up in Sunday school, you were probably familiar with this passage. Because this has a built-in object lesson with it, right? You have kids, maybe you were that kid, or maybe you're a Sunday school teacher now, and you have kids, you know, you make a shield and a sword out of cardboard or something like that. You share the story, the actual Bible passage, you know, maybe you let them finish out the rest of the armor, and that's the class, right? Everybody's wearing the armor of God. But like many Bible stories, we make this kid-friendly. And this is, well, not really a kid-friendly passage. There is a not-so-kid-friendly side to this. Certainly these promises from God apply to children, but there's been a side of interpretation to this passage that that really has not been good. This passage has inspired many violent acts of war over time, even on behalf of the church. Namely, the Crusades, the Inquisition, the justification of holy wars all over the place and throughout spans of time, and violence against non-Christians. When we read this passage, I think it's really important to acknowledge that right away, to acknowledge that this is not intended to create a Christian army or physical aggression, and some context and some study will help us kind of point our focus away from that particular understanding. So this letter was likely written by the Apostle Paul, or people influenced directly by the Apostle Paul, to a church in the city of Ephesus, located in present-day Turkey, which at the time was in a place, in a part of the Roman Empire, where Christianity was illegal. And this is important to know, because it's important to know that the letter was written to a group of persecuted people, a group of people who had no intention of actually fighting back because they'd be outmatched in a second by the Roman army. So this is not a call to violence. And even though this is framed as a rousing speech that a general or some other leader would be giving their troops before them heading into battle, it's meant to sound different. It sets up a huge contrast between those that are being persecuted and those that are persecuted, that being the Roman Empire. And this is a contrast that the people that are being persecuted, the people of Ephesus, so that church really needed to hear. As Roman soldiers would get ready for conflict, I'm only guessing as to what they would hear, right? But if they were getting ready for conflict, I would imagine that their general would be saying something along the lines of, you know, be aggressive, be on the offensive, show no mercy, conquer as much land as you can, keep peace with the threat of your sword, and be ready to move and act on command at all times. Take that, and maybe some more aggressive wording at that, but take all of that and compare it to what we read today. These persecuted Christians are not called to return violence with violence. Their opposition is not flesh and blood to attack. In fact, they are not told to move or attack at all. They're told to stand firm, multiple times, withstand whatever would come their way. That was their command. And the armor given to them, all but one of them, is meant for protection, meant for defense. And all of these items are not necessarily meant for soldiers. I know this is a lot of war imagery, but it's not meant for soldiers. This was not meant to equip soldiers at all. It's meant to equip prophets. Each one of these items has a corresponding message in Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. This is prophetic equipment, so to speak, that these early Christians have been given. Given to live and speak with truth and righteousness and peace and salvation, to live with the word of God, to live with prayer. This kind of message is way different than the Romans would have received. This is not a call to battle here. It's a reminder that with God's grace, these people can withstand the persecution and problems they face with strength and all that God has already provided. And a good reminder of God's protection and strength seems to be right about what we need right now. And, I guess, what we've needed for the last year and a half. So let's take this passage as such, a good reminder of God's protection and strength with each one of us. Because even though we don't face the same challenges as those in Ephesus and the first century Christians, we've been bombarded with our fair share of challenges recently, haven't we? We've seen news of natural disasters and countries in turmoil. We've seen the rise of costs of living and goods and disrupted supply chains and unemployment on both sides of things. Struggles with those that are looking to be employed, struggles with those who are trying to employ. We've seen a rise of white supremacism. We've had a barrage of fake news and misinformation. We've seen the ongoing impacts of climate change and all of the opinions and reactions and protocols and just everything, the added stress of just the pandemic in general on top of all that. And in addition to this, we've had our personal struggles because life has kept going. So some of us are dealing with strained relationships. Others are dealing with health concerns or worrying about the health concerns of others. Some are mourning the loss of a loved one. Some are keeping up with their mental health, or trying to anyway. Some are trying to just keep up with daily responsibilities. There's a lot that we all face. And as we face all of that, we then read today, be strong in the Lord. Don't pretend as though those things don't impact you, because they definitely do. But face that storm, whatever that storm might be, and continue with it. Breathe, knowing that God is there providing what we need to stand firm. And if this reminder wasn't enough, there's more to this here, because we can also breathe knowing that many, many others, our companions, are with us too. This message in Ephesians is not just written to one person. It's not just written to me or to you or to one person in Ephesus. Even though we read it saying that you should put on the armor of God, it's really written in a plural sense. Like, y'all need to put on the armor of God. So not only does this imply that we, in fact, wear the armor of God with other people, it also implies that we wear the armor of God for other people. and others wear it for us too. Kind of like the masks that we all wear today. We wear the armor of God, not just for ourselves, but so that we can stand firm with, so that we can know, so that we can empathize with, so that we can love those who are hungry, those who are hurting and struggling or grieving or discriminated against. With all that is going on right now, then, I wonder if we always choose to wear the armor of God. And this is helpful for me to think about especially, so I hope it's helpful for you to think about too. Am I wearing truth and righteousness and faith today? Or am I wearing something else? Am I instead holding a sword of anger, ready to harshly respond with those who don't agree with me or verbally attack someone on Facebook? Am I wearing a breastplate of fear because I don't know when these problems are going to stop? Am I wearing the boots of resistance because I don't like the changes that are happening in my life right now, in the responses to the pandemic, in the church, or in the world? Am I holding the shield of apathy right now because that's just, I've had enough of these problems and I just want to shield myself and insulate myself away from all the stuff that clearly I don't have an impact on? I wonder, what else might you be wearing right now? What else might you be wearing that is not the armor of God? What are you wearing right now that is not helpful to you or to your companions? And as we think about that, can we then pray that we will change clothes soon? That we will let go of that which is not God's armor and take up that which is? Because that is our calling for today. Not to fight or place our anger in others, but to be strong now, and choose to put on the full armor of God so that we realize the strength of God that is helping us stand firm right now in this place. Whatever is happening in our lives, we know that the strength of God is with us. So we put the full armor of God on now, but also we put it on so that we can stand firm in the thick of what someone else is going through. So may we pray that the strength and protection of the Lord be apparent to us all today and each day to come. Amen. So we sing together To Give Myself. Thank you. sisters and brothers, companions in Christ. May your fire be reignited. May your passion to lift up the armor of God and wear it be renewed, so that you might see God's protection not only for you, but for others as well. So go in peace to love and serve our Lord together. Amen.